So today on the Zulu One podcast, we have a very interesting guy. He's a former midfielder for the LA Galaxy, an author, a filmmaker. He's the CEO of Lutech, a family constellation trainer and facilitator, and the program director for Mosaic, the movement, Ivan Pollock. How's it going, man?
Going great, John. Thanks for having me. When you read all that off, I'm confused myself.
I mean, I see when you put that together, it sounds like comprehensive leadership in its whole. You know what I mean? Like being part of a larger system. And that's kind of the whole point of this, right? Is to put all those things together, is to say, hey, as a team member, being part of a system, leading a company, being part of a system, capturing film is part of a system, right? Putting a book together is part of a larger system, Mosaic, part of a system. It's just a really interesting way to see every aspect of being in the system, right?
Definitely. We're all part of multiple systems, and systems influence us in a big way. In a way, systems lead us as opposed to us leading them, and having some awareness around that can be really handy. I'm not really sure where do we go from here based on that introduction, but it's a pleasure to be here with you. I love the work that you're doing and the explorations that you're making out there, and I love the fact that you're doing this podcast. So thanks for having me.
No, I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it. What can you just tell me a little bit about how you got into constellations? Like, how did you start? How do you get into this work?
I was already pretty deep into self-development through my professional soccer career. I always tried to get an edge on the competition side. How can I be the best that I can be? And then after my career finished in soccer, I joined the family business. And then at that point, I needed to do a lot of growing because my father founded the business, and my relationship with my father was my biggest wound because my dad and mom divorced. And dad was the one that left, and I kind of felt I kind of blamed him unconsciously. So joining the family business was a major stretch because I had to work with my dad. I had to earn his trust. I had to really clear my own field, if you would, of all that past stuff. So I dove in, and I dove in pretty hard in self-development, and I did a lot of reading. I joined a lot of self-development seminars. I went pretty deep, and both my wife Mariana and I went on a pretty deep dive of Tony Robbins' curriculum leadership, and we actually both became trainers for Tony Robbins. We traveled. Oh, nice. Travel around the world supporting his events. So that part was not on the bio, but I wanted to mention that. And then somewhere like 9 years ago, my sister told me, hey, I came across this thing and you should check it out. By that time, I was already, I've tried out a lot of things. So I said, yeah, I'll check it out. I'm open-minded. I'll go see. So yeah, my first experience was a very intense one, and I'm really lucky and blessed that it was that way. I found a facilitator in California online. I showed up to an event. it was a very, very small room, not a lot of people. Small room, small circle. I came in and I'm like, okay, well, let's see what this is. And first constellation of the first morning, I get asked to participate, and I'm like, "Well, you don't want me.
Yeah.
you don't want me, you know, in there because I, you know, I don't know anything about anything. I don't know what this is about." So, "Oh no, you're gonna be fine. You just you know, walk in there and you'll be fine." So, okay, I said, "You know, if you really insist, you know, I'm here to participate, but I don't know what I'm doing." So he said, no, don't worry. So there I am. I'm standing in the middle of the circle, and she brings in another person, a lady in front of me. And this is done blind. So I don't have any information whatsoever about anything.
So you didn't know what you were getting into. You just said, "I'm going to go to this place and see what happens."
Yeah, well, I heard about something called a constellation, and something, you know, it's a process, and you can go pretty deep, but I don't know the mechanics. And this particular facilitator worked blindly, so I didn't know anything about the case either.
Oh, wow.
So here I am standing in the middle of the room, and I don't know, I have zero context. All I'm doing is standing there. And I'm looking at this woman, and this woman is looking at me, and I don't feel a thing, man. I don't feel a thing, man. This, I'm looking at her. She's looking at me. I'm looking around. I'm like, I'm looking where the door is. I'm like, I must be in the wrong place. This is weird. So we're standing there. Now it's become uncomfortable. It's been too long. The silence is too long, empty silence, no feeling whatsoever, nothing. There's nothing.
How old were you?
I was 9 years ago.
Okay. All right.
So I'm thinking, you know, yeah, this is a mistake. Let me wrap this thing up, and I'll excuse myself, and I'll go home. And then the facilitator brings in a man to stand behind me, and I hear footsteps behind me, and so I turn like this, and I can feel someone standing behind me, and as I turn back to the front, I feel this wave of sadness that is so thick. Mm. So thick. The sadness, I've never felt so much sadness. It's so much sadness, it overtakes my body completely. And I'm now starting to cry, and it's overwhelming sadness. And while I'm crying, I'm thinking to myself, "Dude, what is wrong with you?"
Yeah, that's a weird, where you can be in your mind and in the emotion at the same time. It's
So I was really like, "Yeah, you're losing it, man. I don't know what's happening here." So I was crying and crying, and I was crying for a while, and then finally the wave of sadness started to subside, and I was thinking, "Wow, what the heck is this?" Oh, as I'm wiping up my face and I'm opening my eyes, and that woman that was standing in front of me is still there. She's not same distance, same woman, but I'm like, now when I look at her, she's like the sweetest human on the planet.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, "Wow, what is this?" I'm like, I'm somehow drawn to her. My body's starting to draw me towards her. She's drawn to me. We come together and we embrace, and it's so sweet. I mean, sweet as can be. And I'm hugging her, and she's hugging me, and these people are looking at us, and I'm like, "Dude, we have really, really lost it now." And so this thing is going on for a while. It is sweet, but you know, at some point, a facilitator says, "Thank you." So I'm like, "Wow, what just happened?" I go back and sit down in the circle, and I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." So they just proceed to go on to the next constellation with no explanation whatsoever. So at the break, I corner the facilitator, and I'm like,
"Yeah,
you have to tell me what was that." because that was crazy. She said, well, you know, the woman that asked you to participate, that was her constellation. And she was working on connecting with her father. And you represented her father. And I'm like, okay. So she said, did you notice how you couldn't feel anything at the beginning? I said, yeah, I couldn't feel a damn thing. She said, yeah, well, you know, she couldn't. That's kind of how their relationship has been. And she couldn't really connect with her father. And I'm like, so what happened? She said, well, her dad is a first generation immigrant from Hungary. And I had a hunch that he might have something to do with his country of origin, Hungary. So I brought in a representative for the country of Hungary.
Mm.
And I was like, what?
So oh, wow.
She said, when I placed the representative for Hungary, you standing there without any cognitive information, your nervous system wasn't blocking the emotion. But when he first came to America, he was so homesick that he couldn't handle the nostalgia, the homesickness. And so he made himself numb not to feel the sadness of missing his homeland. And so when he made himself numb to feel the sadness, he numbed all of his other emotions also. So he couldn't feel the love either. He couldn't connect with his daughter. I'm like,
oh, wow.
Interesting. So she said, and when you stood there, you were not trying to be numb. Your nervous system allows emotion. So you felt all that sadness of 20, 30 years of blockage. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're connected to countries. What are you talking about? She said, and then once you could feel all the sadness, then you could feel the love too. I'm like, huh. And so she said, when you open your eyes, then you could finally see your daughter and you could really feel the love for her. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
So then my mind was going like, was I hypnotized? Was it auto-suggestion? Did they put something in my water?
Yeah. Like cold, what is that, cold reading and neuro-linguistic programming? And you're like, what? Yeah.
So all of that stuff, and I was trained in all that stuff. So I was really like reviewing, and because he was blind, had it not been blind, I would have talked myself out of it somehow.
Yeah.
But because he was blind, I was like, wow, are you kidding me? We're connected to countries. I could feel other people's emotions in a non-local environment, or kind of like a quantum connection. What is going on here? This is wild, but I couldn't explain it. So when that thing ended, I was like, I gotta know everything about this. So I read like 30 books in like a month and a half.
Really?
And, I went and then traveled all over the world, trying to figure out what's going on here. And then, you know, very quickly I started facilitating, and then very quickly I said, I'm going to help other people do this. So it was kind of like a whole new paradigm that happened. And, you know, it's been really an amazing exploration for me, and a huge expansion in my life. And I absolutely love it. And it's been a great ride, and I'm still on that ride. It's amazing how things are coming together. And so that's kind of my journey into this work. And it's taken me far and wide and deep, and I'm looking forward to more.
Yeah, I mean that's a funny story. The first that's funny that you had the, you know, going through that process with your family, and then going, you know, those systems kind of attracted each other, right? So going through, you know, you always in constellations, it usually happens that systems attract systems. So it was really appropriate, right? That happened. That's funny. So how did you get into, like, did you travel after, you said you traveled a little bit after the first Constellation to, did you travel to do workshops abroad or?
Yeah, I traveled everywhere. So I did everything I could locally, and then I traveled further, and then my reading took me to all over the place, to Europe and different facilitators, and it's different styles, different approaches. So I've really exposed myself to a lot of it all over the world.
Man. So what would you say that has been the biggest impact of doing your constellations? What would you say the biggest shift in your life has been?
Well, we did a lot of healing, for a lot of personal healing, a lot of family healing, a lot of business strategy, business healing, business expansion. So a lot of benefits across many dimensions. So my wife and I have two sons. We're carrying a lot of things from our ancestors that we've had to reconcile, just like all of us. So in our part of the world, in the Balkans, there's a lot of wars and a lot of turmoil and suffering and all kinds of stuff. Our land was under the Turkish Empire for 500 years, so 500 years of slavery practically. So a lot of transgenerational issues, and then my parents' divorce and how that all panned out. And I think most recently now has been the more and more of me stepping into my sovereignty, into my true self, if you would, into what I'm really here to do. In life, we have a lot of obligations. We have a lot of expectations from others. When you take over a family business in the aerospace industry, those are big shoes to fill. Employees working around the clock throughout the night. We got a lot of things going on. And then all the projects that I'm doing at the same time. So I've really had to find my way. I've had to find what it is that really I'm here to do. Why am I here, and why do I have such a funky story? why am I involved in all this variety of things? Seems like I'm being cooked on a slow cooker for some purpose that is still to be revealed. Really owning myself and owning my voice, and continuing to move forward and expand and grow. That's been huge.
That seems like the case in many cases of, I mean, at least your story and my story are similar. It's like we have kind of irons and many fires, and it's just trying to put all these things together. And it's also an immigrant story, right? Of coming to the U.S. is, that's a big part of it, and especially working, and then not only that, adding the complexity of working with a parent, that has its challenges. And I mean, it's extremely rewarding, but it has its complexities. You know, it really has its complexities.
Yeah, you know, we teach that wasn't in the bio, but we teach the family business dynamics at the university here.
Okay.
And we consult with family businesses. Our book was written in the family business space, family business mastery. So we did a lot of growing in the family business, and it's a very sensitive territory. second generation, third generation, next generation in a family business has a higher probability of losing themselves than the general population.
Oh, wow.
Because you have big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And you have to step into somebody else's strengths. You have things to follow and preserve that not only are that your identity is tied into, but your livelihood is tied into, and your family is tied into. So the stakes are really high, and
could be higher. Yeah.
You cannot betray all those things. You got to be respectful, and you must stay true to yourself along the way, which is a very slippery slope. I'm really grateful for the journey, and I'm grateful for the where I am now. But I tell you what, I probably quit in my mind 200 plus times.
Yeah, it's burning the candle on both ends, right? I mean, that's the, yeah. It's a race of improving yourself faster than the failure rate, right? I mean, that's like, it's like you light a fuse. It's like, I'm going to prove myself faster than the failure rate and then start, you know, running against that thing, right? I mean, yeah, that's tough. It's like 50% failure rate for second generation businesses and then 70%, 75% failure rate for third generation businesses. That you cascade the effects of the system, right? If the system is still in its old patterns, right?
Yeah, I mean, the most sensitive time is during a transition from one generation to the next. Mm. It isn't the demands on the successor are substantial.
It's the
most sensitive time. We work with a lot of people in that transition. And part of the reason why we teach at the university is to prepare that next generation as best as we can to brace themselves for that time in the future. So, I needed all the perspectives and all the systemic principles I could get. And, it's been great. I mean, my dad's and mine relationship has never been better. So not only did I gain a business through the process, but I gained my father in a way. I mean, I've always had my father, but it didn't always feel that way.
Yeah.
So the gift of that for the future generations is immense.
Oh, that's huge. That's huge. Yeah.
So I'm really, really grateful for all of it now that I'm kind of on the other side of it. So
yeah. It's a nice perspective, right? To be on the other side of it.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, being in business with family is, it has so many layers of complexities that you have on top of it. I'm in business with my dad, and it's like, you know, I'm the dynamic of the immigration dynamic, right? The immigrant dynamic. It's the dynamic of father and son, right? The dynamic that I'm in business with two other brothers that are brothers, so it's their family system as well. And so it's like the more I work on my stuff, and therefore my dad is going through his process, the smoother the ride becomes. You know, it seems like that's the biggest thing. It's the biggest gift that you can go get as well, is that you become so much closer with, you know, with your family members through that process. You know, my sister owns, you know, she owns one of her first franchises, and that's has her dynamics, and she's very much in this work. And I think the success that they've been able to have is because of the work, you know, and that's, it seems like it's to me, like now looking at business now, it seems like there's no other way to do it. It's almost guaranteeing failure if you don't address those things, you know?
Business is difficult all by itself.
Yeah, exactly. It has its level of complexity without adding the family system dynamics and organizational dynamics, you know? Like, yeah, that's huge. Yeah. I mean, how did you meet up with Jan Jacob Stam? How did that relationship develop, and how did you get to that, I guess, point?
Yeah. So, throughout my journey, I'm bridging many different styles.
Yeah.
So, my first kind of teacher was, working with a lot of information, and intake, what is the issue? What's the family? What's the system? What's, you know, the whole history would get taken. And then there would be a discussion in front of the room upon which the work would proceed. And then he would then, almost like a color commentator, narrate the whole thing.
Yeah.
So then my next teacher after that was complete silence. So no intake, no cognitive information, completely blind and complete silence, and very
deep
movements of the soul and movements of the spirit mind. And then not only that, his name is Lado. He will come to Miami in March. He was supposed to do it now, but the virus got us. He also works in parallel. So he works with very large groups, 100 plus people, and then he would have them all in the field, and he would do 7, 8, 9 constellations in parallel.
Oh, wow.
So one family system would then synergize with the other family system and other family system, and it would be a big old constellation in one space.
Holy crap. Wow.
First time I did that in Europe was incredible. And you know, men are in minority there also. So maybe 20% men. But I was, over a 2-day period, I represented probably in 45 constellations.
Oh, and my gosh.
I was the father and the grandfather and the son and the baby and the aborted child. And I was everything.
Oh, wow,
days, very, very deep, like no talking, just feeling. So my capacity to for the unknown increased tremendously, and my capacity for opening myself up for different energies. I really feel like I've lived multiple lifetimes. I would never get to experience a fraction of this if I wasn't involved in this work. And so, yeah, that was my next teacher, and I hosted this, my very, very dear teacher, and a huge influence on me. And then I figured, you know what, I would like to see, because this is very shamanic, very deep work, okay?
So yeah.
It doesn't lend itself really to walking into a company and consulting for a business or doing systemic work for a business. I mean, it would if the business would be open to go in and open themselves to a shamanic process. It would be amazing.
Yeah.
Most of the time, they're not like that. So, I 2 years ago, I went to Madrid first to see Jan Jacob and Cecilia do a masterclass. And then after that, I joined the YOCTI, which is the International Organizational Constellation event that happens every 2 years over a week. And then I met Michelle there, and I met a lot of people from all over the world. And then I dove into a training with Jan Jacob on the systemic dynamics in organizations, and then master systemic organizational facilitation after that. So I really feel that Jan Jacob's approach is unique in the sense that he he consciously separated the family dynamic work with the organizational dynamics work, and he really focused over the last 20 years on the organizational side. So his expertise is quite strong. And then how he relates to the systemic principles, how he relates to constellation work. He still does organizational constellations, but he also, their institute in the Netherlands focuses on systemic coaching and systemic consultancy. And because of that, I felt like I had very strong foundation on the systemic side and very deep side, but a little bit of the languaging and making it available to the general population, I felt like I needed a little bit better handle on. That was my reason for diving into that. And then that's kind of how we ended up in Miami, sharing some of that stuff with Mosaic and Michelle, and it's been beautiful. Really, and the most recent development is that in today's world, I feel like we need to go out into the world. Like, I feel like we need to make the work more accessible.
Okay.
And in order to do that, we need to make it more, we need to make it simpler.
Simpler?
Simpler. We need to make it more conversational. I mean, and so this latest course that we're offering starting next Thursday is going to be how to take the principles of constellation work and how to make them available through a question, how to make them available through a conversation, how to take the kind of deep listening and deep seeing that happens while you facilitate in a circle. How to take that same presence, that kind of openness to the new, and take it into the boardroom, you know, take it into the kitchen with your family. How to make it accessible, and how to work with it out there with people who may have not heard about it. How to interface with the world, and how to connect with the world at large, and how to keep that kind of sense of possibility and sense of sovereignty, and have be sitting in the eye of the storm, if you would, in the eye of the hurricane, and remain composed and remain open to systemic dynamics and be able to share them, acknowledge them as they are, and not notice the problems in the world as solutions for something that problems are clues on where we need to look at in order to make the shift necessary for the organization or the family or the individual, for society as a whole. And this whole virus situation, it's a huge interrupt of the entire world. And it's a problem, but this problem is a solution to the general lost way that as a humanity, we've kind of lost our way. And what we're doing currently, what we've been doing before the virus is a surefire way to self-destruct. And really this virus is an opportunity for maybe taking a pause and looking at how might we change direction and make this thing sustainable for future generations and the benefit of humanity as a whole.
One of the interesting things that I think that we'll be able to gather from this thing is the data that happens from the pause, right? Is that the pause button is going to have data effects across the board. So if you see you know, pollution rates, population movements, whatever that looks like, that we can't, we're going to be able to get really concrete answers on some stuff that we didn't have concrete answers before. So we're like, you know, there's arguments on both sides of a lot of cases. It's like climate change, right? So they were like, climate change is, we don't know, or whatever that looks like. And so now we're going to actually know, because we've reduced everything on a, we've reduced travel, we've reduced consumption on a high level, and say, hey, the data is showing that this is the direction that we need to take now. Like, we've created this massive data set after this has happened to be able to pull that. It's a huge opportunity for us to readdress or readjust our perspective on almost everything, right?
It's a huge opportunity, and I am not sure. Obviously, there is way too many unknowns, and I'm not sure if I was going to bet which way we're going to end up going. I'm not sure that I could make a bet that I would be confident about. And I'm not here sitting on a doom and gloom feeling. I'm sitting here with taking ownership of my own self, my own world, my own sphere of influence, my family, and even my family. I don't have the control over my family. My sons may make choices that, you know, as much as I want them to make good ones, they have free will to make bad ones.
Absolutely.
You know, I think the way I approach it is that the world will do what the world will do, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I'm going to focus on expanding my awareness. I'm going to focus on love, and I'm going to focus on art and creativity and connection. And then the world is a different, I think it's in the hands of God, more than in my hands.
That's an interesting point. It's just, the thing that gives me comfort, right, more than anything, is the aggregate knowledge that we've gained, you know, is that we're trending in the right direction. Oh, like, historically, we're trending in the right direction, right? So there's less atrocities globally, right? There are magnitudes of order, right? So there's less, you know, in the 21st centuries, there's less, you know, atrocities than there has been in the 20th century, and so on and so forth. And it seems that the more work that this type of work that happens, the more our collective subconscious learns and heals. And I can't get this thought out of my head, is that there's something that we're doing that's trending us in the right direction. We're moving the ship, you know, let's say a degree, you know, a tenth of a degree, you know, off, and 50 years will be in a completely different place than we were if we hadn't made that correction, right? It's just, I can't get that thought out of my head, that the work that we're doing collectively, the work that's happening, and it's happening across the board. There's this awakening, right? And we're healing those dynamics, and there's, you know, everybody's understanding that we're both victim and perpetrator, that we need to stop the judgments of these processes, that we need to just really look, and that we need to take responsibility for ourselves and heal the kind of the immediate thing that we have around us, and that's all we have responsibility and control over. It seems like that is putting us, trending us in the right direction, you know, that just, you know, the little degree of movement in the ship that will put us in a different course.
Awareness is raising, and I take fulfillment anytime awareness raises, whether individually for myself or I see someone's awareness raise. I know every time that happens, our collective awareness is raising simultaneously. So a lot of my work is in this.
Yeah.
A lot of my life is in this. So I like the metaphor of the ship that you are mentioning, and the opportunity on an individual basis is to correct by 50 degrees, by 90 degrees.
Yeah.
You know, even 180 degrees. On an individual basis, those large shifts are much more available than on the collective basis.
Yeah.
And that's what my life is about. That's what my journey is about. How can I be in maximum alignment with my purpose, with my soul? And that's where I focus. And I let the collective do its thing while I am course correcting in the best way for myself.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And, that's kind of how I approach it. And the reason is because I've had many years of my life. If you majority of my life was taken in wanting to save people, wanting to save my mom, wanting to save the business, wanting to save the world, wanting to save the clients, wanting to save people. Now that I'm on the other side and my awareness is raised, that a lot of the times of saving the world is a kind of an elegant distraction to doing your own work.
Absolutely.
And it can be, you know, I'm on the mission to save the world, but in the meantime, in my yard, if you would, there's trouble in my yard.
Yeah.
Trouble in my backyard.
problems
in my home.
Yeah.
So, I've really reoriented to a kind of a really walking the walk.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever heard of Jordan Peterson?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so Jordan Peterson has a great rule, and it's I can't remember what rule it is. It's like, clean your room. It's like, just clean your room. Like, you can't do anything unless you clean your room. And yeah. And that, like, that's, I've had that as such a thing. It's just like, focus on you, man. That's it. You can only focus on you and me become the best version of that I can be for my children and for my wife and for my company and for my house and for my community. And that's it. That's all the control I have over and lead by example, right? It's just clean your room. Clean your damn room, man. it's as simple as that. And, you know, just try to do that. And that will make a massive difference in your life. It's just start cleaning your room. Yeah.
I definitely agree. I can see the wisdom in that. Since I've been approaching it that way, I have had so much energy, so much more creativity, so much more ability to stretch our stretch in multiple directions and projects. And so really, in hindsight, a lot of my energy was tied up in the fight I cannot win.
Yeah.
A lot of my energy was tied up on the outside, the uncontrollables, all of those things that we use as distractions. Even it might be a positive distraction, it's still a distraction. And so, I really recommend focusing on what is yours to do.
Yeah, fighting windmills.
What do you need? And bringing that, taking your place, taking your place, not taking other people's place in this journey of life. And that's really listening to yourself inside, developing that fine-tune connection with yourself, your own voice, having your own voice. So noisy out there. So noisy.
Absolutely. And it takes a while to get used to. You know, it's like that for me, some of the biggest shifts is that I was like, okay, I'm this person, right? I grew up doing this or in this dynamic or fulfilling this role in my family system, right? And then I was like, okay, let's do this constellation thing, right? So I started doing it. And then I was like, oh, what's this new me? And then getting used to that new me. And then doing that over and over and then just shedding more and more old dynamics that didn't. And then now I'm like, this is, I'm in my spot where I'm supposed to be in my family system, respecting everybody's position, trying not judging, right? Respecting everybody's position and then being comfortable in that place. Now I can say I'm responsible for me and for my children. And that's it. Like that's all I can do is until they're emancipated, I'm going to continue to work on myself and do it with my, and be the best version of me that I could possibly be. And it's so difficult to, not so difficult, but it's such a weird feeling to be comfortable with yourself. It's just say, I'm in the position that I'm in, and I'm not distracted by whatever those defense mechanisms were, right? Or just not distracted by whatever other thing that comes into my life. That's huge, That's really big.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to yourself for a long time, your voice is unfamiliar. So re-engaging with yourself is a whole new relationship.
Oh man.
And honoring your own voice when it hasn't been honored for a long time. Yeah, it's something to reorient and really orient to. Things become a lot easier. There's more grace, there's more ease, and you are in harmony with yourself.
It's almost like you become more effective.
Absolutely.
It's almost like the movements that you have, that you do are way more effective because you're in your place. Other than, it's trying to hit the moon with a slingshot. It's like, I'm going to save whatever. And then you're trying to hit the moon with a slingshot. It's like, you're not going to be effective. It's about practicality, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's interesting. What, so do you, how do you approach, okay. So this is, I'll get into kind of this question is, how do you explain or attribute the force behind family constellations? Is some people explain it as spirit, some people explain it as from a religious perspective. I'm very biased to the Rupert Sheldrake morphic resonance dynamic because I'm very technical, I'm a technical mind, and that really kind of resonates with me. How do you explain the ghost behind the machine to people when they ask you about this?
Interestingly, I'm going to share how Jan Jakob explains it.
Okay.
So he goes through about 15-20 minutes process of sharing what systems are, how systems are related, what systemic principles are. He shares the three survival mechanisms. And then at the end of that, he says, and there's this thing called a constellation, and we don't know how it works. But we know that it works, and it gives us an opportunity to look at these dynamics and look at these systems and principles and how they overlap in a very three-dimensional way. And so we use it for that. It's a vehicle of awareness, and it gives us an opportunity to pull levers that we otherwise wouldn't know that they were there. And so it's a very elegant way, and he works with large corporations. So in a matter of 30 minutes, he is in to work with the board of directors. So
yeah, I mean, I would see that if you're explaining, you know, quantum entanglement to quantum non-locality and spooky action at a distance to a board of directors, they're going to glaze over. And it's a very elegant way to explain it. Just explain the pieces, but not the center. And people will be like, oh, and you just take the thing as a whole, right?
Yeah. And then and he says that early on in his career, he was always trying to fill in the blanks for people and educate them and bring them, prepare them for constellations. And then he said that the more I went, I realized that systemic perception is natural. All of us have a systemic perception. All of us understand that we carry it in us. And then when we explain the principles in layman's terms, everyone gets it. And when we explain the three survival mechanisms, and you know, if you don't do such and such, you may not belong to your organization, everyone understands that. Everyone knows when they walk in that they got to say good morning, and if they don't say good morning, that there could be severe consequences. So that's actually systemic perception that we don't think of. Systemic perception,
that's huge. Yeah.
So, he just kind of taps into the innate systemic perception that people already have within themselves. And then he uses that after 30 minutes as a jumping off point to do some really deep work.
That's a great way to pull it, that it's elegant. It's an elegant way to explain it. It's just very...
Yeah, so too much explanation for something that is really mysterious. And we know very little about it, if you really think about it. We know much less than we don't know.
Okay.
And so if you use a metaphor of flying, okay, so Icarus had a hunch that we might be able to pull it off somehow. And you could see birds flying. Why can't we fly? And then somehow through trial and error and experimentation, you know, now we fly across the ocean in a very comfortable setting. And we don't know the aerodynamics, the physics, the laws of physics, the turbine engine, all the systems on the plane. We don't know any of that. But someone knows to make it predictable. So that is great. So another example is electricity. 200 years ago, we knew there was a discharge in the sky. There was tremendous power that somehow thunder and lightning and nature's got power, man. How can we harness that?
Yeah.
How does it really work? So we didn't know. And that's kind of where we are now. And science is not really exactly sure how it works, but we know that it works.
Yeah.
And we are in the beginning stages of tuning in to these quantum effects and mechanics and the field effect and these things. And so we are really the pioneers. We're the experimenters. We are the pioneers of flight into human consciousness.
To me, that's the most exciting part about this. It excites my brain in ways that I can't explain. It's so exciting to be at the frontier of this of this kind of movement, right? It's just, it's so exciting. I don't know how to put it into words.
Yeah. And, you know, to make it easier, I would venture a guess it will take several thousand years to really get a handle on it, where we really know the ins and outs of how it connects and the complexity of it, and the immenseness of the universe, the immenseness of the intelligence.
Oh yeah,
that is organizing all this. The vastness of that intelligence is way bigger than our nervous system can process, and way bigger than our nervous system is going to be able to process for another few hundred years. And so sitting in here with wanting to know all the answers is futile. And we might as well just relax.
Yeah.
Relax and enjoy the journey. You know, play with the light switch. You know, now it's on.
Yeah.
And just continue to move on this frontier and know that it just can help our humility in a big way, knowing the vastness of the intelligence that is in play, and really being a little bit in awe and a little bit in aware of our smallness.
Yeah. It seems like it's a lot more complex than we could ever imagine. I mean, that's the power of it. Have you heard of Nicholas Christakis's work?
No, I haven't.
So he has a TEDx talk, and he talks about, you know what the widower effect is?
No.
So the widower effect is, I'm going to probably butcher this, but it's the probability of somebody, statistic probability of somebody passing away that has been in a long-term relationship with somebody. So like the spouse following the spouse to the grave, right? So it's like 50%. So if a couple has been together for a long time, one spouse passing, the other spouse has a 50% probability that they'll follow, right, in a very short period of time. I think it's 2 years, right? So he took this data set and kind of mapped somebody in a point in a cluster. And everybody in that cluster, what their probabilities were data-wise of systemic work, right? So it's like a systemic, it's a data representation and a scientific representation of the dynamics and the effects in systems, right? And so that we see when we work on constellations or when we participate in facilitate constellations, you see that dynamic of the spouse following or the father child or whatever those dynamics are represented by this scientist. Right. And so it's like, we're swimming in the same pool. We're getting so close, you know, it's like these two things are getting so close to each other, and it's getting really exciting. You know, it's like, I'm so excited about this. You see, like Frozen, I've got little kids, so I watched Frozen 2, and Frozen 2 is talking about, you know, Into the Unknown is like the main song. It's like Into the Unknown, and they sing Into the Unknown. And it's not until, spoiler alert, if you're going to watch Frozen 2 anytime soon, the princess goes and finds her ancestors and like what happened with her ancestors to heal the dynamics. Coco, the Disney movie Coco, is very much about that. And it's like, we're coming to terms with this thing, and it's the phenomenon of resonance. And this phenomenon is, you know, is starting to come to light. It's incredible. I'm so excited about it. I can't, it's like, I can't contain myself. It's so exciting, you know?
Yes. I love to explore I love to be in the field as much as possible. I love to represent, to facilitate, and I wish I could be doing that all day long. And so I am doing that all day long, really, because now I'm focusing on how I can do the systemic work without a constellation.
Okay.
That's what the course is that we're going to do next week, to start next week.
On the 14th, right? May 14th?
May 14th. And the big reason why I decided to do that, to facilitate that course, is because I really want to, I want to somehow make it more accessible, and mm-hmm. I want to unite worlds, if you would. And I want to bring the sacredness from the circle into daily life. Mm-hmm. And I want to make it possible to practice all day long. And I want to really let the moment emerge fresh for me everywhere in life. And that's the reason really why I'm really opening up this exploration for us all, because I really feel that every moment presents its opportunities, and I don't want us to miss them just because they're not happening in the circle.
Okay. That makes sense. So would it be that you're the light switch, turning on the light switch all day? That the light switch is, you know, you using the metaphor, is that the lights, you're always turning, you just live in a state of the light switch being on, in tune to what's happening in the field constantly.
Yes. I mean, what's happening in myself, what's happening in the systems, what system is revealing itself in the moment, what symptom, problem, issue is presented itself, why does the issue exist, what does it serve, what solution is the symptom providing, what is the system involved, where do we need to zoom out to notice that. All of those things are available for exploration in every moment, and it really accelerates your systemic perception when you engage on that level. So
that is,
when you are facilitating, and I know a lot of your audience are facilitators, in the special present state, the empty and full center, where you're connecting with the client and you're connecting with the field and you're connecting with the representatives, and we're all in that room, and it's sacred, and we're, you know, the something's just about to click that hasn't clicked for a long time. Well, that magic,
yeah,
that magic is available. It's the same field is available outside of the workshop environment.
Outside of the workshop environment. Yeah, man.
So, it just requires our presence and requires our connection, and requires our perception. And then composure and centeredness, if you would, the awareness and the presence. Mm. And so with that, you can bring that home. You can bring that into your business. You can bring it into a business meeting. You can facilitate on the bus, if you would, and on the train, and in the car. And that's my invitation, really. How can we mingle our perception with the raw reality?
Oh, wow. Wow. Do you think that ancient cultures had like this is a lost art? Would you say that this is something that more ancient cultures had that connection on a regular basis, and we've kind of in modern times lost that?
Yes, I don't remember the name of the book, but there's a book on the Aborigine genius of the Aborigines and how they would go out on these hikes hunting, and telepathically they would communicate with the tribe, and they would know when to return.
Oh, like, wow.
Someone would need their help, and they would get a telepathic message to return, and they would be very, very far.
Oh, wow. What's it called?
It's been documented, and I can look on my shelf for that book. But if you search Aborigines and telepathy and communication, it's a very mainstream bestseller book. This, so it's not some kind of esoteric book. It's a bestseller.
Wow.
So, yeah, I absolutely think that we have those skills. We have those abilities. We are pre-wired.
Yeah.
We're pre-wired for it. And different civilizations throughout time have had more connection than others. It's available to us. And in our DNA, the large leaps of consciousness and enlightenment and levels of consciousness, all of those, the ones that have, that masters touched, they are also encoded in our DNA.
Mm.
So it's a matter of awakening latent potentials inside of us, and awakening those potentials is a matter of practice. And that's why I'm really wanting us to practice more. I'm really wanting us to just dive in and explore and keep exploring.
Getting better at flipping the switch.
Yes.
And keep it on all the time, right? I mean, this is kind of a question. Do you find yourself having to pull back from doing a constellation with people? Like when you have a conversation, like when you start getting into certain territory, like you start almost like you have to stop, like, hey, if we keep talking about this, we're going to get into, you know what I mean? Like that happens to me sometimes, is like, hey, if we keep talking about this, like I'm going to start going into a place where I shouldn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you can always ask for permission.
Yeah.
Always open. Is it okay if we explore something? Can I ask you a question? Permission is very, very important, and it should not be taken lightly.
Yeah.
Obviously, as your awareness increases, your responsibility increases as well. And so, it can be very. I have to mention this because there are skillful healers that heal people out of their destiny.
Oh, so wow.
A person may come to experience a lot of pain so that they can learn a lesson that they can use in particular way for the development of their soul, if you will.
Yeah.
But halfway through their pain cycle, a healer heals them.
Mm.
And heals them almost without the chance of the soul of the person to abort, if you would. It's almost like it's a surgical procedure that there is no going back from.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So rather than interfering with people's destinies, allowing people's destinies, and that's again the, you know, world and people will do what they will do, and I will do what I will do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a good way for me to approach it. And for me, my biggest temptation is restraint to saving people.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so my systems, my upbringing, my issues, and my systemic history. My systemic history has a tendency to want to save people, and that comes from wanting to save my mother and wanting to save people around me and all those things. So when someone is in pain, I can feel my heart going out to them, and then I just say,
absolutely.
It's you know, this is their journey, and I can ask a question, I can be respectful, and I can really stay withdrawn so that I can give them maximum room for their exploration without interfering.
That's huge. That's huge. Yeah.
That's a very hard won lesson. Yes, you do see more things, and therefore you need to have more restraint.
That's definitely something that's been happening to me, I would say, in the last probably 5 years, that you start having a conversation with somebody, and then you start getting into territory, right? You start getting in and like, okay, if you know, I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's like, hey, just, if we keep going down this path, I'm going to get into a place that I want to respect your space. So I don't want to, you know, if we keep going down this path, we're going to start getting into a workshop, right? So like, I want to, you know, it's like, if this might be something that you want to look at in the future, and then kind of leave it at that. Like, that's been my biggest go-to, is like, this might be something that you want to look at, and then just kind of leave it at that. Because you start, like, it feels like once you start having that neurological resonance with somebody, you open a field and you get pulled into the thing. You're like, whoa, I got to restrain myself from getting into that dynamic, you know. It's like,
yes, that's definitely a wise way to go. And Jan Jakob, in his organizational facilitations, he regularly parks personal and family issues. So he would just park it on the side and say, you know, this is something that's family related that you may want to look at. But let's continue looking at the organizational dynamic. And so you can do the same thing. You can park things and continue the conversation and make an invitation in a respectful way where they can opt in or out.
Yeah.
And then that allows their destiny, and they have their own choice to make at that point.
Yeah, putting checkpoints for consent, right? Yeah, I mean, that makes complete sense. What do you think that what do you think that the future of organizational constellations look like? Do you think that this is something that's gonna come into kind of mass adoption for the population? There's gonna start being, I mean, if this continues, there'll be books written about this, right? Like, there's already books that are written about this. Like, this company was able to correct, and this company was not. and then it's going to get mass adoption at some point. What do you think that the future of that looks like?
Well, it's definitely going to get more and more adoption, and people are going to want the results. Mm. So that will be the more adoption piece. And yeah, I mean, we are on the trajectory of raising awareness, and awareness is going to raise whether organizational constellations really take foothold or not. And if they don't, something else will. So yeah, there will be a continual raise of awareness, and I just hope we don't run out of time for that. But yeah, it's going to become more and more mainstream.
That's the thing that gives me the most amount of hope, right? Is that you can't, like, once you cross that threshold of knowing that family constellations or that type of work exists, going back is like you're already, you know, it's the you're already healed, right? It's like, or not necessarily healed, but you're already on that journey. It's like I don't know of anybody that goes down that path and then makes a U-turn and then goes the other way. I don't know many people like that, or I've never come across anybody like that.
But yeah, there is a point of there's a point where you get to where when you have a decision. What is higher priority? Yeah. Is it your mind and your identity, or is it your soul and your voice and your true self? And that's a very, very slippery transition. Mm. And so a lot of people don't make that leap. And they go and they raise awareness to the point of requiring courage and requiring trust and requiring faith. And that's a cutoff point, if you would.
Hmm.
Where
it's like a fork in the road.
That's a cutoff point. Do I go into the unknown?
Hmm.
Do I take the leap into the unknown? Do I risk being forsaken by the world, by my family, by the people that don't understand? Do I risk belonging even in this crappy world? And or do I take the leap? And that's a cutoff point that a lot of people don't make that leap.
Hmm. Do you think does it stem from the loyalties to their identity? I mean, that's where for me the most tricky part about constellations is that it comes from a place of love. Like when you're assuming a loyalty, it's coming out of a place of wanting to belong, right? Yeah. It comes from a place of saying, I am also a perpetrator, or I am also a victim, or my identity belongs to this. And if I do not have this, what am I?
Yes. So it's a kind of a young love, if you would.
Yeah.
A love that doesn't have a future. That's kind of how my teacher Vlado frames it.
Yeah.
It's a love that doesn't have a future because you are loyal and you are loving, and you are loving to the point of even if it costs me my life.
Yeah.
And so even if it costs me my life, results in death and love with no future, therefore.
Mm.
And love with a future is taking that leap and risking the being different, being a outcast, being
in the unknown.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not a small matter.
It's not a small matter. It's losing your tribe.
Yes.
It's losing it's a loss. It's losing your tribe. It's a very lonely place to be once you venture out into the uncharted territory of not your tribal protection, right?
Yeah, and that's why our communities like Mosaic and people that are on the same journey is really, really important.
Yeah,
and so I always recommend being with like-minded people and supporting each other and continuing to explore together and leaning on each other. And that's very important, having communities like that.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, even if it cost me my life, that put everything in perspective for me. You know, that put every single ounce of the depth, the gravity of this work and the gravity of systems, is that even if it cost me my life, is that if that's on the table, anything's possible, right? You can put anything into that context. You can put genocide into that context. You can put diseases into that context. You can put anything into the context of, even if it cost me my life. So if I'm so loyal to belong to a system, or I'm so loyal to fulfill something, that I will, that I'm willing to sacrifice my life. That's the end game, right? If that's the bar, anything below that is possible.
That's how intense, how intense it is.
Exactly. That's how intense it is. That's, man, when I learned that lesson, that's probably the most profound lesson I've ever learned. Really, really profound lesson that I've ever learned. Besides the love of being a parent. That's the most profound lesson that I've ever learned, is that I'm willing to give up my life to belong to a system. Like, whoa. Oh man, that is so intense.
Yeah, John. So my light here is expiring.
Oh yeah, I see that.
California sunset almost.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to come back when I'm in Miami.
Yeah, that would be great. We would love to have you.
We can do a face to face, is the way you prefer to do it.
yeah, face to face. But Ivan, thank you so much for being here. And if you can just let everybody know how to get in contact with you, or just follow you on Instagram or on Facebook.
Yeah, so you can find me on my through my name, Ivan Pollack, Ivan. Pollic on Facebook. We can also look us up on our website, familybusinessmastery.com. For any listeners that are interested in exploring constellation work on a daily basis, we'll be doing this course next week, starting Thursday, May 14th, for the following 7 weeks. May 14th, Thursday from 1 to 4 Eastern. And then we'll meet on every Thursday, 1 to 4 Eastern, for the next 7 weeks, exploring topics of judgment, finding your voice, trauma, how to navigate, how to respond to the moment as it is, as opposed to the moment from the past that you couldn't handle, how to find the success in your essence as opposed to all costs. So we have a topic for every week, and we'll be diving into deep territory on the personal and family side, as well as organizational and business side. So it's for your home life and for your work life, both. So there will be experiential exercises throughout every week. And lots of Q&A, and it will really be a laboratory for us to continue to explore continue to explore in the workshop and then explore at home and at work when you go back, and then continuing to polish throughout the 7 weeks. And so it's a warm invitation for us pioneers to dive in together and continue to raise our awareness and continue to expand and continue to live the life that we were meant to live. And thank you so much, John, for all the work you're doing. And it's great that you have a podcast like this. And it's absolutely great that you're continuing to do the work and continuing to inspire others.
I appreciate it, man. It's my pleasure, really. Thank you so much. All right. We'll see you soon, man. We'll see you here in Miami.
Yes.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.